Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I am very good.
Good. I see that it's every time we record, it's sunny, but isn't like the whole thing about the UK is that it's just never sunny there? Like, I feel like it's way more sunny than it is over here. I just got to move out there and then we could do the podcast in person.
It's sunny, but cold and interspersed with rain. So it's not that much fun.
Oh, because Ohio weather hasn't been terribly cool. It's been actually warm, but it's been raining the whole time. So we very much share the exact same type of weather. So it would be no different for me. But yeah, I'm just going to come out to the UK. And speaking of things in person, we will, in fact, be in person again. And we just realized that it will technically line up for our 100th episode of the Mac Rumors Show podcast, which is crazy. Thanks to everyone who's supported us over the years, honestly. Or it's been 2 years, right? I can say years.
It has.
Plural.
It has.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just feels like we just started this and we're already at 100 episodes, which is wild. So thank you again. And we did want to do something fun for the 100th episode. However, we also think the iPads are going to come out that week. And so that might kind of, you know, play a part into whether we actually roll with that 100th episode. But the one thing that we do want to do for either the 100th or the 101st episode is we want you guys to send us questions. Like, we want to do like a little AMA. Ask us anything you want that's, you know, clean and within reason. And we will answer your questions. If you are up for it and you want to send a video question, like film yourself, we'll feature you in the podcast. You can ask us a question and we'd love to just kind of answer everything and just engage with our audience a little bit more. It's only taken us 100 episodes to do that. So we would absolutely love to do that. You can send your questions to me any way you want. You can send it to me on Twitter. My DMs are open. You can send it to me in an email, dan@macrumors.com. However, you can physically get it to me. Feel free to do so. And we will do that either on the 100th or the 101st episode of the podcast. It's really just up to Apple and whether or not they actually release these iPads. So, Hartley, do you have anything you'd like to add there, or are you just looking forward to these questions?
I am looking forward to the questions. I hope we get some interesting ones.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it doesn't have to be about tech. It could be. It could be about Apple. It could be about, you know, I don't know, what's your favorite show or movie? And, you know, Hartley's is obviously Severance because he's seen it so many times.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of all of the Apple TV Plus shows, as we know.
I'm going to physically sit you down that entire week, and I'm going to pry your eyeballs open and make you watch the good Apple TV, including Ted Lasso, so you can cringe at the way yes. they portray your country.
Well, I need to try your Vision Pro, so that's my excuse.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I don't even have to hold up your eyeballs. That'll do it exactly. For you. Yeah, all right, cool, perfectly. That'll work perfectly for us. So today we were going to talk about AI, and honestly, I've been really sick of talking about AI, but there have been some interesting developments over the last week, and so I'm back into it. I'm back in the mix. And so the Humane AI pin, nothing really to do with Apple per se in terms of like direct correlation. However, the two main execs and a lot of the people in the company, I'm guessing, are former Apple employees. So there is that like design. You can see what they're trying to do. Apparently, they have a boatload of funding. So that's good because some early reviews have come out and some controversy has come out around it, citing that the AI pin is not very good. And, you know, MKBHD, everybody knows who he is for the most part. And if you don't, he is by far the biggest tech creator and, you know, reviewer on the YouTube platform. And honestly, just transcends YouTube. Really good at his job. Very much known for not being biased one way or another. Everybody has some sort of biased take here and there. It's okay to be a little biased. You have your own opinions. But, you know, he tries to do everything as best as he could. And this is like his second in the last month of just completely tearing down a company. And not because he's trying to do it just because he doesn't like it. It's just that he had a bad experience. And a lot of other reviews from The Verge and I believe The Washington Post also had like just, you know, random outlets that got the AI pin. But just they didn't like it. And so, Hartley, have you had a chance to catch up on all of that? And what are your thoughts so far?
I have. I think it's interesting because I think that one thing that the sort of wider consumer tech industry never quite learns is that just because you can doesn't always mean that you should. I think that the shame about this product in particular is I actually think there is a use case for this sort of product, but it just isn't what they've tried to do with it. What they've tried to do is create a product that could ultimately replace the iPhone as far as they could see, except that clearly isn't going to work because there's no apps for it, and it's clearly more inconvenient, as MKBHD showed in his video review, than using a phone almost all the time. However, what I can see this being great for is replacing like body cams that are used, say, in hospitals or by security workers or anyone that needs to wear some sort of body cam. And particularly, I would have thought in the medical profession, it would be really useful where you can't always be touching a device for hygiene purposes. Having voice control may be more useful. I can see that working a little bit more. So I just wonder if this should have been a little bit more like Microsoft HoloLens or something that is more targeted at businesses and very specific instances and specific workflows rather than just replacing smartphones, because you even have to have a separate number on it. So I'm not going to do that. And also a 24 month plan, yeah, as well. Like it's asking a lot of people.
Yeah.
Hey guys, just want to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumors Show podcast is sponsored by Notion. So recently we got everyone back on the Mac Rumors team on the Notion bandwagon. It was just me for a while using it to manage my own tasks for the podcast, for the YouTube channel, and for anything else that I needed to be. And honestly, some of the main reasons why I love Notion is that you can create your entire environment, especially if you have a team, make it feel like it's for your workplace. So we have everything themed out. We have it nicely decorated so that we know that we're in a specific section for graphics, for the Mac Rumors Show, for the Mac Rumors YouTube channel, and then even the editorial team has its own sections. And that's just not something you can really do in modern, task managing applications, note applications. And the best part is you have all of these features that you can take advantage of, or you can just make it as simple as you want it. And there's no other app that can do that. Notion, again, is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's workspace designed not just for making progress, but also getting inspired. And just like a lot of apps these days, Notion is using AI-powered workspaces where the everyday everything takes care of itself. Meetings have summaries, docs find themselves, and every question can have an answer quickly. And again, Notion is for everyone. You could be a Fortune 500 company, or you could be a freelance designer working on your own. You could be a student. You could be anything, and you can use Notion. There is literally something for everyone inside of this app. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/MacRumors. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/MacRumors, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show, and that is always greatly appreciated. Again, that's notion.com/MacRumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode.
That's the thing that's going to really kill it. You just can't charge people $700 and then offer the service to be you can't even use it. It will not work unless they pay $24 a month. Now, you do get the first 3 months for free, but it's not like it's an extra thing where after those 3 months, if you deemed that it wasn't worth it, you could just be like, I don't want to pay it. I'll use it, like Wi-Fi only or something. It's completely useless if you don't pay the $24 a month. And the other thing about that is I can understand what you're saying with like body cam stuff, but the problem is the camera is terrible. According to what we've seen so far, it's been really bad. Here's the thing about AI Pin where I feel like they should have, I know what they were trying to do and that they don't want the iPhone or any phones to be a part of it. They want it to replace phones, but it's not there yet. And it's okay if you have to remove it in the future. Personally, I think MKBHD said that they didn't want to have to go and remove certain functionality. But if you get it to the point where you don't need an iPhone and you can if you can actually prove that to people in the future, then I don't think anyone's going to be mad that you removed a feature. Or maybe you just leave it up to us to decide whether or not we want it to replace our iPhone. But as of right now, as a Gen 1 product, it looks to me, I don't have one yet, I should be getting mine soon, it looks to me as if it absolutely needs some sort of smartphone companion app to see what's going on. And they made an app or a website that you go to like see all the stuff that you do with it. And that's cool because like I need to be able to go and visually look at the images and the videos that I take. And then it has all of the things that you asked it. And if you ever forget, you can go like, I like that. Why can't that be an app? Why do I have to go to my computer to go and check it out? I don't know. I haven't seen if I'm guessing it would work on your phone if you typed in the URL, but like that just probably seems like a poor experience. I'm not trying to tear it down either. However, I would love to get your thoughts on this. And then I'll let you know how I felt early on. But what were your first impressions of this when it was first announced? And they did that really weird like video where the two execs and were like talking about it, and it was very strange and like super long and awkward. What were your thoughts about it at that time?
Well, I always love to see new technology and new devices like this. I love it when these companies actually have the ability to put this kind of science fiction stuff actually in people's hands. But as I say, I don't know what went wrong where they actually believe this could in any way replace the smartphone. I know that that's, for comparison, people could say the same of Vision Pro, but I think Vision Pro is clearly a first generation platform that has potential to be its own thing and really to replace the iPad. I don't think anyone would disagree that ultimately the Apple Vision line could replace the iPad. But what is this really doing, the AI pin? I just don't get it. And I don't know how they even went so far with it with this current embodiment. I don't know how they ever imagined that something that doesn't work outside is going to replace a smartphone.
So my initial thoughts were, like, they first, like, they teased it, and I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. And then they showed it off, and I'm like, I think this is going to fail. And I'm not trying to do, like, revisionist history, like, oh, and now everything's, you know, easier for me to say because it's not doing so well. I legitimately had zero interest. And it's not like whatever I think is going to happen is going to be the thing. But, like, I just didn't see what the point of it was. But then I did actually change my mind when they started to let, like, their actual marketing people, like, you know, Sam Schefer is, you know, was a creator and knows this like industry, and he is their head of whatever there, and he started posting videos and like casually showing what it can do in the wild, and those were way better than any of their actual announcements and like release video that they had initially. And then they released like a full walkthrough video, and that was really good, and the people that were, it also just had a lot to do with the people that were on camera portraying it. And being on camera is hard. And so, you know, those people, they're the executives of the company, they're the founders. I don't expect them to be also really good on camera. That's just not their thing. And so I'm going to give them a pass on that. But maybe they shouldn't have been the ones to talk about it, because then they had follow-up content that was really good. And I got really excited again. So excited that I was, you know, just couldn't wait for mine to get here. And then the reviews came out, and now I'm sad again, because it just seems like it's going to be something I'll try out for a few, and you know, in the drawer it goes, and I'll be paying $24 a month so that if I ever want to pull it back out again, I can use it. And so, yeah, I'm still going to reserve my judgment the best I can. I guess I am heavily influenced towards my original opinion now, but I still need to remain as unbiased as possible. I know that it was never going to replace the iPhone at first. So I have to keep that in mind. And I've seen people online also say, like, why did we not give Vision Pro the same kind of treatment? Because Vision Pro was not so great in certain aspects, and it launched $3,500. But I personally don't know how those are comparable at
all.
They're
not the same thing, because ultimately,
yeah,
it doesn't look like the AI pin does anything particularly well, any task. So it's all very well saying that the fit and finish of the hardware is really good, but what is it actually doing well? Whereas you can't level that at the Vision Pro. The Vision Pro, it may be uncomfortable, it may not be fantastic for actually getting work done compared to a Mac, at least at this stage. But that is absolutely a fully functional, finished product in its current state. Oh,
and it's really good at watching content, and it's really good at other things that, you know, like you said, there is nothing really good about the AI pin.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what a lot of the problem is. And it's a shame, because I think that maybe what actually happened here is that they just got a little bit too ambitious. If they'd launched it as a companion device to begin with the long-term ambition, then that might have been better. And also, if you had maybe built a little bit more of an app store around it and allowed developers to build on that and make it reliant on your phone. So effectively, it just provides you with a sort of Apple Watch-like experience.
I was going to say, how great would this be as a watch?
Yeah. And that's where, in particular, I can see it being really useful, say, like in a hospital. So I just think maybe if they would have focused on a really, really cool projector that could project notifications and provide you with that sort of mirroring, and even if that was just a cool sci-fi type thing that tech enthusiasts would enjoy, even if they don't really need it, that's a good starting place. In trying to do too much, I think they've set themselves up to fail, unfortunately, which is a real shame, because I do actually really like to see these new hardware products. It's not that often that we do. So I don't like to be too ungrateful for it.
Well, the other thing is, like, I mean, who wants to wear, especially since apparently it has terrible battery life and it gets super hot and it's in between the fabric of whatever you're wearing. And so it's probably making it even more hot. So you just got like a burning square on your chest and, like, you know, putting on your seatbelt. Like, it was in his video where he's like, this is a pain. This is annoying. Like, it as a watch, and, you know, maybe you can still do without a screen, and maybe it just shows like an e-ink type just for the time so that you still are disconnected. But the cameras are, you know, on this little part here on the front, and then it could like display it into your hand. I don't know. That seems weird too. But like, if you still wanted to, I think if it was on your wrist, we would be talking. I think that would change a lot in terms of perception, but it still has the downfalls of, like, you're asking, you know, it questions, and it takes, I don't know. In the video, he literally pulled out his phone and was able to Google the question faster than what. So, like, it has to be faster than that. And how they shipped it before it was faster than that is absolutely mind-blowing to me. But, yeah, I don't know. I also have to ask you a question of, do you think it's a reviewer's, as someone who reviews products, you know, maybe not necessarily on camera, but you review them in your articles, do you think it's a reviewer's responsibility to be nice about a company so that you don't, you know, completely tear apart their first product and potentially bankrupt them, assuming you have a reach that's massive enough to do that, like MKBHD is being accused of?
Because why should an individual prioritize a private entity over individuals' hard-earned cash? If MKBHD told me that this was the best product because he felt like he had to, and then I went out and bought it, then I would just be very annoyed that I had been told to do that. And I don't have as much money as Humane do, let me tell you. So I think that the balance is definitely in the right direction. I don't really understand this criticism.
No, I don't understand it either. And you know, I'm not trying to tear apart this person that posted that on Twitter even more, but he's already getting it quite a bit. So that was a very brave thing to post. And, you know, hats off to you. You didn't take it down. I would have been terrified if I got all of those replies to me. But it was just a really, like, bad take that he should be not doing any harm to a new company, and tearing down their first product is, you know, irresponsible, and that he has great reach comes great responsibility. Like, you know, I don't have anywhere near the same reach, but what's the point of a review
if not to actually review the product? I just don't get it. Well, it's that simple.
Well, that's the thing. So I typically don't post a lot of negative reviews because I don't really want to review something that I don't like, and or like even is remotely good. And so it's not because I don't want to like be mean about it. I don't find any joy in reviewing something that's terrible. So ultimately, I've been able to, for the most part, navigate around things that are really bad and not really call them out because I just don't think they deserve attention. So what's the point if it's not good? But, you know, and a lot of the things that we review are Apple products, and Apple has never really made anything that's so objectively terrible that we have to, like, you know, talk about it. And if they did, you know, we'll talk about it. I just, maybe they have, and I can't even think about it right off the top of my head. I know we all ripped apart the charging port location on the Magic Mouse, but I'm still using it on a daily basis. Don't ask me why. It's not even a good mouse, but I, for some reason, can't get rid of it. So there you go. There's me being negative. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, I just don't find any joy. But oftentimes, I feel like MKBHD is kind of the same thing. He doesn't really have a whole lot of bad reviews. But when there's something that's this hyped up, and people are looking forward to what he has to say, he has to post something. And yeah, I don't know. Is the title clickbait? No, because he did say that it was the worst product he's ever reviewed. Is it a harsh title? Not if it is really the worst product he ever reviewed. And also, he has to provide entertainment as well. And that's an entertaining title that would get me to click on it if I had no idea what the Humane AI pin is, which, like, my parents, who maybe are browsing the front page of YouTube, wouldn't know what that is, but they'd certainly be like, well, what is the worst product you ever reviewed? That's interesting. I'd want to see that. And then they know, oh, I just saw something about that recently. I thought it looked nice. And it comes from, you know, ex Apple executives. Like, he has a responsibility to the consumers, not to the company. So I'll leave it at that. That's my take. Maybe I'm way off base. I agree. Of course.
No, I agree.
Okay. Let us know in the comments, you know, of course, what you guys think of all of this. And if I was Rabbit, I won't talk too much about it because, honestly, you know, it's one of those other companies that is also doing something new with AI and a little device. If I were them and they have a product that they think is even 10% better than Humane AI Pin at $200 that it comes at, I would absolutely get that to his hands or any reviewer's hands ASAP. And you can capitalize on this coverage because, I don't know. I just think if it's even remotely better, you're going to get a pretty good video out of it. And that should be coming out next week as well. Have you seen the R1, the little square thing?
I have. I mean, we've had a discussion about it before, but I haven't actually seen it in person. I haven't tried it out. I love the idea of what it is supposed to do, but I just can't get around the fact that it does not need to be its own hardware product. So that makes me a little bit hostile to it, because why can't this just be an app? You could make that a subscription app.
See, so that's interesting because here we are and we're killing Humane for not making a companion app. And then on the other side, we're getting what we want from Rabbit. They're like, hey, here's this device, but also you got a companion app. You know, where's that middle ground? I'm just genuinely asking.
I don't think there is a middle ground. I think smartphones are too good, and if you want to replace a smartphone, you better be pretty sure that you actually can do that, because smartphones are a very mature technology at this point. And even with the Rabbit, if you want to carry, you want me to carry around a different device in my pocket, that's a big ask. That's a really big ask. So, but to download an app, that's quite a small ask, and give something a try like that. So why do you think that your hardware is really that good that it's earned that place? I mean, think of all the things your smartphone can do. It will do infinitely more than the Rabbit will do. So why would I carry that around?
That's a good question. I've also got one of those on order, and I will let you know when I get one. We'll have to do a battle. Smartphone versus AI pin versus Rabbit R1. And I'm guessing I'll know which one would be better. But so speaking of more AI talk, we had a article up last week about, you know, the M4. We're already talking M4. For your Mac is going to be AI focused, which is not a surprise because, well, apparently everything this year is going to be AI focused. And so Apple, according to Mark Gurman, our great friend Mark Gurman, he has written up an article saying that this year we're going to get three new chips, and we are apparently expecting these chips to be very AI focused, which is great because we did talk about a lot of AI features for iOS 18. We were trying to figure out what that could be like for your Mac. Like, how much more useful would AI be on your Mac? And so now we've got, not official word, but, you know, Mark Gurman reports it. We got to take this really seriously. We have reports that there's going to be a lot of heavy emphasis for the chips, which is good because it's going to need that power. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What kind of features do you think we could be getting when it comes to that?
It's really hard to say with features, but I suppose it's got to be whatever is introduced as exclusive features for the iPhone 16 lineup. So what we are expecting is that we will get some AI features announced at WWDC that will come to presumably all iPhones and iPads. But then maybe we'll either get a glimpse of them at WWDC and that they will be for the future, or they will be unveiled alongside the new iPhone, which I think is more likely. And it will be presented as though these are device-specific AI features, because they will presumably be processed on device, whereas everything else probably will be over the cloud. And what we are expecting with the iPhones is that Apple will tout this new improved neural engine. The neural engine has had 16 cores now for several generations of Apple Silicon, at least in the Mac. But it likewise in the iPhone has not been massively iterated on generation over generation. And it looks like what will happen with the iPhone 16 lineup and the A18 chips is we will actually get the A18 across the lineup. So we won't get this staggered approach that we've had from recent years. And that is probably because of AI, because Apple wants to put this new neural engine across all four devices so that whatever features they unveil will be available for all of the new iPhones. So then if you roll that forward a little bit more, the M4 will be based on the A18. So whatever those new features are for the iPhone 16 will also come to the new Macs. What the features are, as I say, I don't know. But it may absolutely make sense that if there are hardware-specific features, they've got to come to the Mac through new Apple Silicon. And it's kind of easy to forget that just because Apple markets the chips for the iPhone as the A series, they are effectively M series chips. They are just they're just an even lower tier. They share almost every attribute. It's just the core counts that differ. But everything else is the same. They have the same manufacturing process. They use the exact same efficiency and performance cores. They're the same technology. Apple designs one kind of chip and then just scales it up. So the A18 will get scaled up into the M3, the M3 Pro, the M3 Max, and presumably the M3 Ultra as well. But it's effectively the same technology. So that's where this kind of AI speculation comes in. But what it will be, I really don't know.
Do you think we'll actually get an M3 Ultra this year? Because now with all the talks of the M4, people are like, are we going to get an M3 Ultra Mac Studio or not? Because if this is actually going to happen this year, man, could I be incredibly angry if you get a Mac Studio in June or July with the M3 Ultra and then Hydra comes in, which, I mean, it's not going to be the name, that's the code name for it, but like, you're getting a even better version that can now do all these AI features. Like, people are going to be pretty mad, especially since like, that's not like an insignificant, like, oh, you know, I just upgraded now, it's fine, I'll, you know, I don't need anything more than this. Like, if you wanted to do all these cool AI features, you're not, in theory, I don't think you're going to be able to do it, because, well, that's the whole point of these new chips.
So my speculation is that there will be no M3 series Mac Studio and Mac Pro. In theory, there should be, based on previous years, and that should come at WWDC.
Right.
But it looked like, at least based on some recent information, that the M3 Max does not have the Ultra Fusion interchange. So there is no way to combine the M3 Max, supposedly, which means you cannot have an M3 Ultra. So the only way that you could have an M3 Ultra is if it was its own chip, which would be a completely different thing to what the Ultra has been across the previous two generations. So that would make sense that there will be no new Mac Studio this year, or Mac Pro. And it would make even more sense, based on this report from Mark Gurman, that there will actually be a little bit of a new approach to those high-end chips going forward. And there's a few rumors in this area, at least. They've sort of flown under the radar in recent months. So it's not something that a lot of people are really that aware of. But there were these sort of strange rumors about how the M3 Ultra, or what that chip was thought to be, would be based on this TSMC's N3E process, which is the next generation process that will be used on the A18. And that seemed really out of place. So that makes sense if actually it's not an M3 chip, it's an M4 chip, and that's something that's coming later. So that's my expectation. I could be completely wrong, because Mark did actually say that Apple is testing an M3 era chip. That's sort of how he worded it. So from the M3 series.
Right.
But he did not say it was an M3.
An unreleased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's an
unreleased M3 era chip.
It could be an M3 Max. And maybe we will get on sale the M3 Max Mac Studio alongside the M2 Ultra Mac Studio for a year. That maybe isn't that unlikely. But I would be surprised if we saw an M3 Ultra this year, assuming that all of that information is correct, which makes it all the more interesting for what that means for the desktop chips going forward. Because if they've removed that UltraFusion exchange, then that kind of would suggest that maybe they're going to put that instead on this new, whatever the next generation Ultra chip will be, if it's its own custom designed chip compared to the other. So it will be a scaled up version of whatever that M3 or M4 Max rather will be, rather than just two M4 Maxes, which means you could then double up those M4 Ultra chips to get some kind of M4 Extreme, if you like. Which puts us well back in the ballpark of a serious desktop performance chip suitable for the Mac Pro, which, you know, everyone has been pretty disappointed with the Mac Pro. So I think that needs to happen, and I think Apple is aware of that. So all the pieces kind of fit together for me. I can see this happening, and it's a little bit of speculation, but it's all these little breadcrumbs left in these reports. So I'll be very interested to see if I get proven right on this one.
That's going to be so much computing power. I can't even like wrap my brain around it. You know, the current limit for RAM right now is 192 gigs, which is obviously a lot less than what we had with the Intel Mac desktops. I mean, we had a terabyte, which is wild to think about. I had 512 on my Intel Mac Pro, and it just doesn't perform the same when it's not, you know, Apple Silicon, when it's not all tied together as one. So you can effectively, or at least that's what we in our minds have told ourselves, but also Apple has pretty much showed you, hey, you don't need that much RAM because it's so much better with our SoC and everything combined together that you can effectively be able to get the same kind of performance and capabilities with less than when you had it on an Intel machine. But now the M4 versions of the Mac desktops could support 512 gigs of unified memory, which is I don't know, that seems insane. What could you do with 512 gigs of RAM on an Apple Silicon machine?
Nothing. I would do nothing that would take advantage of that. But I do think that point is interesting, because it kind of leans into that idea that maybe there are going to be some more powerful desktop chips. I think there's a good case for it, right? Because the Mac Pro currently has quite a lot of efficiency cores. And especially, say, in a rack-mounted implementation, why do I need those efficiency cores? If you're going to provide me with a super powerful desktop machine, I can have 100% performance cores. And I think that's really the way to take Apple Silicon to the next level. Even better if you double up that neural engine, and then you're presenting the Mac Pro as having a neural engine that is twice as powerful as even the the M4 Ultra for AI tasks. And then you're kind of repositioning the Mac Pro as this AI machine. And then that's getting really interesting. So I can see it happening. But I don't know if I'm being a little bit too excitable about this one.
My biggest flaw in life is me thinking that I need this computer to be able to do my job of editing YouTube videos and this podcast. This podcast requires 512 gigs of RAM. Honestly, it might. Maybe that'll fix our issues with all these platforms that we seem to have. I mean, that's just insane. But again, I want to know. I'm like a I'm a visual person. I need to see, what is this going to do for me? What AI features are we going to get to where I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You really need a lot of, you know, power for that.
We know it's not a chatbot. So it's not even the most obvious thing. I wonder if ultimately it is going to be maybe a lot of photos editing features and things that are still pretty resource intensive.
Well, this is a good segue to our video editing thing here that we had listed on our notes, which is that this last week was NAB, the NAB show, so it was all video and focus cameras, all that stuff, and there were a lot of announcements from major players, so Adobe and DaVinci, well, not DaVinci, Blackmagic, who makes DaVinci Resolve. Those are two powerful companies in the video editing space. They make really good NLEs that people use. It's kind of like the big three. There's Premiere Pro. Well, at least in consumer editing, I think a lot of Hollywood films or like production studios still use Avid, which is wild. And maybe even Sony Vega people out there might still exist. But you know, it's kind of like in my world of content creation and this like new, you know, generation of making media and like quickly and fast, it's usually Adobe Premiere. DaVinci Resolve is very popular for both aspects, both consumer editing and that like Hollywood aspect. A lot of color grading for that. And then Final Cut Pro. Of the three, Hartley, which one do you think is the most or is the least feature set robust app out there? Cutting edge, well, always on the precipice of new features being added.
I think I might know the answer to this one. I think it's Final Cut.
Yes, you would be absolutely correct. And so my hopes and my theory, in which I'm definitely going to be proven wrong here, is the M4. You were saying a lot of photo capabilities with AI. Well, a lot of these companies recently, and by a lot I mean DaVinci Resolve, that editor, and Adobe Premiere or Premiere Pro, they both announced editing features that were AI focused. So like with Premiere, for example, you could literally use the generative fill option that you use on Photoshop in Premiere. So obviously it's easy for removing things, and which that's not an easy thing. You could do that now, but that's not an easy one click. I want to remove this subject from the background. I want you to content, you know, aware fill that part of a video. That's so much harder than a video. And it, like, from what they showed, worked perfectly. But also you can fill it with things like you would with generative fill in Photoshop that don't exist, that you are literally typing in a prompt and it'll fill in the video. And that's insane. And I don't ever imagine a world where Apple could do this. So it's either one of two things in my eyes. It's like they're trying to make machines that are capable of using these new features from these other platforms. Or maybe, and this is where I hope, Apple is going to kind of get up to speed and release some of these AI features themselves. Which one do you think is more likely, though?
I think it's ultimately more likely that they will support it for other users and open it up. Really opening up the neural engine is something that I think now is really the time for that with the sort of AI revolution. But it is a bit of a missed opportunity. But then Final Cut and Logic and all of these apps have never really, well, I say never, but for it's been a long time since these were at the forefront of Apple's attention. And I just hope that they can keep up, because it would be a terrible shame if they couldn't and they really did fall out of favor.
Like, I hate to keep bringing this back to video editing, because I know this is probably niche for our audience, but it makes sense in the grand scheme of things for AI features and why one would need that type of performance. And so like when I sit here and say my biggest weakness is, or my biggest flaw is that I think I need this computer, well, maybe I might, because I would absolutely use the hell out of these tools. Like Generative Extend for Adobe Premiere, I'm just going to list a couple of these really good ones. You can add frames, make clips longer. Like that was something that blew my mind when Samsung released it on the S24 Ultra this past year, where you could like automatically slow down any clip, make it a slow motion clip where it was using AI to basically fill in the frames that you needed in order to slow it down. That's wild. And I don't know why I didn't think that anyone else would bring this to an NLE editor, but you can do that now. So any clip that if I want to slow it down, or if I want to extend it and make it a little bit longer because I just need it a little bit more, I can do that. We talked about object addition, where I can add in things. Object removal, where it's so much easier to remove things. Just by point, it's not like, it's just the fact that I can click on it and say, remove this boom mic that's accidentally in the shot, is something I could never have comprehended would actually happen in like a few years ago. I was going to be like, well, we either have to reshoot that or I have to be really good at editing. I'm not that good at editing where I have the resources and skills to be able to do that. So it just makes things way more interesting. And also it kind of teeters on the whole, like, you know, I think another one was generative B-roll, basically, where if I needed B-roll, it would just, you know, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with adding things to the scene. But I think you can also, there are companies that have even made this already. Is it Sora AI, where like you can just generate content? That stuff kind of, you know, makes things scary for me, because then it's like, okay, well, what was actually real in this video and what's not, you know? I don't know. There's a fine line there. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it's a really interesting time for these sorts of creative tools, because they still need a lot of control, and they are still far from perfect. Mm-hmm. So it's all the more impressive when they are used effectively, and you sort of don't realize that's when things are going to really get interesting, when you basically don't know if something is AI generated. It's just Apple's place in this is still so hard to determine, a little bit like its wider AI strategy. Who knows when Final Cut will get these sorts of AI features? Who knows when things like Logic for the iPad will get AI features? It seems like it's so far away, but they've kind of got to keep up. I'm really excited to see where we go with things at WWDC this year.
I mean, even just like features that have been out for a couple of different like being able to text edit, basically like editing your video based off of a transcription that's AI generated of your video, like that exists in the platform we're using right now to record this podcast. I could literally go onto there. It's a web app. I could just use the web app to edit text and like, oh, I said this. I don't have to go. I can search for what I said. Like, I don't remember where I said it, but I remember I said something stupid and I'm going to go in there and remove that. I just search for it and I can go and cut it and it'll make the proper cut. I have plenty of tools that can do that. Like, but the point is being able to just do it natively inside of the app that's optimized for your hardware would be huge. And so, I'm holding my breath. It's like Final Cut for iPad, you know? But this time, I promise you, I'll actually use some of those features, not just abandon it. I could use a lot of these features for real, because I'm already using them just with other applications that make things easier for me. That's AI, man. AI is everywhere. We're just going to have to embrace it until it comes for us one day. Are you an AI doomsday person?
Not particularly.
Do you think it's the downfall of humanity?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But that doesn't mean, like, in terms of what Apple is making available or will make available for the iPhone,
sure,
I have no worries. A little bit different when we start talking about governments using AI. That maybe we should be a little bit more careful of.
You see the new Boston Dynamics robot?
Oh, yeah. That's where it starts to get a little bit concerning.
That thing's terrifying. Like, it was already scary before, but now it's got like 360 rotatable like limbs. I'm just like, nope, I don't need this in my life. We could just get rid of it. That's fine. We don't need it. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else to say. If you are a classic games person, go download the Delta emulator. Emulators are now available on the App Store, and it was actually really fun to shoot that video yesterday, where I got to just go through my childhood of games for like Nintendo and N64 and stuff. And that was really cool. Although you can't do that in the EU, but you can, right? You can download it.
Well, I think so.
Did you not look at it?
No, I haven't.
Hartley.
Gaming isn't my gaming isn't a big thing.
It's not my for me. It's not my thing either as much as it used to be when I was a child, but I probably wouldn't have downloaded it either had I not had to make a video on it, but yeah, I believe the developer did not make it available in the EU, which is kind of funny. But yeah, you should download it. Did you ever play Nintendo 64 back in the day? Or you too young for that? You're too young.
That was a little bit before my time.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. We're done. We'll catch everybody. Oh, hey, be sure to leave us questions for the 100th episode. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.